Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go, Cofield and Company. Here on the Wednesday, you heard it. Battleborn Broadcast Center is the site. Alex White, Alexandra White, is here with us. Griffin is back in the Finley Toyota Studios. Much to get to, lots of picks today, a lot of college football, NFL. We'll go behind the patch with Adam Hill in about 15 minutes. Adam, of course, one of the beat writers for the RJ and part of the company. This is good. Week one of the NFL, week two of college football. We've been waiting for this for a long time. I almost got a little overwhelmed with college football last week, and now this is normal. Now we're going to get all the college football slate and the NFL slate. And coming out of the gates, we actually have interesting news around the NFL. I don't know if it's official, but I got to tell you, the note on Roger Goodell being asked, and I think there's one of the reasons that he was on the Today Show. I would believe that the Today crew is not asking Raj about anything real offbeat. And Roger Goodell this morning on Today was asked if the NFL would be interested in a Taylor Super Bowl. Goodell said, quote, "We'd always love to have him. He is a special, special talent, and obviously she would be welcome at any time, but good for Raj. That's what Taylor Swift needs. She needs that Raj bump. She's a special talent. Thanks, yeah, Roger Goodell. Yeah.
Over right now for viewership, breaking the record if Taylor Swift is doing the halftime.
Well, imagine if, I don't know what the number was last year, if the average is, say, 123 million throughout the game, but it spikes to like 150, 200 million just for the halftime.
I can imagine that, actually. The Swifties, there's a lot. It's a big group, so having NFL fans and Swifties all watching one thing, it'd be pretty cool. And I'm not a Swiftie, but I can appreciate her talent and what she has done, and I think she would put on a phenomenal halftime show.
Griffin, would you call yourself a Swiftie or just someone who appreciates the music, or are you like many incels out there who will be very angry that Taylor Swift will be out on the field at halftime?
I'm somebody who respects the craft. I respect the beast, which is her career. Having her on stage at the Super Bowl, especially if somehow the Chiefs make it to the big game, I mean, is that a storybook writing ending or what? I mean, that's amazing.
Last year was $127 million on average.
That did beat the record, right?
It did. The previous record looks like it was 120 a couple of years before that. Yes, a league that we often reference going back to about 2019. When was the Kaepernick thing again? 18, 19, right? Something like that. Had dipped to $103 million and $98 million. Is now back at $127 million this last year, so go woke, go broke didn't work in this case. And let me tell you, if they get Taylor Swift to do this halftime, the numbers are going to be freaking monstrous.
So I think you have to find a guest who is a Swiftie who can really dive into the episode that Taylor Swift was on for New Heights, because I've seen clips going around social media and the Swifties have already started that, and there's supposedly clues throughout that.
Yeah, that's right.
About the halftime show.
You know who actually is a Swiftie and an expert on this and who watched that New Heights thing from end to end? And I think someone else did. I thought he had sent over a giant list of key points is Adam Hill. Okay. So that is part of the booking today that Adam is on. It might become the whole spot. I know everyone wants to talk about Kaya Blue Kelly and Darian Porter, but might not have time for it. Might run out.
That's right. This has to take the spot.
All right, Thursday Night Football, right around the corner. Eagles and the Cowboys. I don't know if you have the latest number in front of you. I saw a 9 up on the board. We had talked to Ray Cleaver from William Hill yesterday, and he was saying, he's like, I don't get the big jump. Yes, they lost Micah Parsons, but this feels like it's just a play against Cowboy energy. And he likes the motivation on the side of the Cowboys. Because I said to him, I think it'll go to 9, 9.5. I didn't want to be too ballsy and say it's going to go to 10. But we know the way people play favorites on these primetime games.
Well, and the last thing they saw from the Eagles was them whooping the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. So that's kind of stuck in their mind and thinking that they're going to be pretty dynamic again this year. So I can definitely understand it, but I love the case that he made yesterday. And he said, these are professional athletes and they have something to prove as well. And they can be good with or without Micah Parsons. And we didn't really know if Micah Parsons was going to play to begin with. So I've got the number right there. I can't lie, power rating wise and at Philly, but 8. And if it hit 9, I mean, I think that would be an auto take here on the Cowboys.
You found a good Twitter account at Cowboys Muse, and they tried to break down the Cowboys and the Eagles from a position v position standpoint. Accurate?
I thought this was pretty entertaining, actually. Of course, it is a Cowboys account, so they were trying to find some points to give to Dallas. But right off the bat, quarterback, I mean, we haven't seen Dak. He's been injured, and Jalen Hurts was just the MVP of the Super Bowl. So I don't know. Can just starting with that position, can you go Dallas that easily?
No, I would go Hurts.
Griffin?
Hurts? Yeah, that seems like the better choice, honestly.
Running backs is obviously Saquon Barkley. They can't fake that one.
Nope. Wide receiver is interesting, though. A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith. I think that duo is right there with C.D. Lamb.
This person has Dallas?
This person has Dallas.
Say it again, C.D. Lamb and?
And George Pickens.
Yep.
I don't know. I think that's even. I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
Tight end. They have Dallas here as well.
I don't know about that one.
Me either.
Yeah. Head-to-head, Dallas and Philly tomorrow. The spread's 8, 8.5. Someone did a position by position to get people hyped up. Okay, next up, offensive line.
Well, offensive line and D-line, they were very realistic here. They gave both to Philly.
It's tough to make an argument otherwise.
Yes, it is.
Linebacker, Philly.
Yeah, agreed.
Cornerbacks. What do you think of that one, Dallas?
Well, that's another thing that we don't really know, do we? Because coming back from injury, why am I blanking on his name? For Cowboys?
Diggs?
Yep, Diggs, right? And I don't know.
Hey, Ja'Cory Bennett's with Philly now. That changes everything.
Yep.
I'm kidding. Safety's Philly, kicker Dallas. The problem with head-to-head, position by position, is it doesn't really quantify how big the gap is at some positions and how important both of the lines are. And if Philly has a better offensive and defensive line, the advantage that gives them, I mean, the O-line is ridiculous. And the D-line, I mean, they moved on Tommy Booker, who's now with the Raiders, and Booker's going to get, I mean, he's listed as the one on the depth chart. I'm guessing he's going to get at least 20, 25 snaps, if not more. I mean, he was a backup.
Right.
So that's how good the Philadelphia line is. And in many ways, they're still a growing, you know, a group of growing young men, we'll say. A lot of upside.
Well, I thought it was pretty entertaining because, yeah, you could probably make the case for Philly in almost every spot, but they had to find some and give Dallas, and of course they went right to the weapons and the offense, and we do expect their offense to still be pretty decent, but I mean,
wide receiver even. Is A.J. Brown going to find inner peace? What do you think? Because last year, I think, right? About 6 games in, he was complaining about not getting the ball enough. And then, well, Hurts actually listened. It kind of worked. And then we saw, he was the one who was reading the motivational book on the sideline, right?
That's right, yep.
Oh, that's a good, interesting picture. Do you think he's bigger? Someone said he's looking jacked.
He does. When I first saw that picture, I was like, that doesn't really look like a wide receiver.
No. Do you get impressed when wide receivers are all muscly?
No, I don't think that's really helps their position, right?
There's a fine line.
Yeah.
There's Deebo Samuel in the offseason. We need an update on him, by the way, because he looked like he was a tight end. He looked like he was 270 in whatever it was, June camp. No, I'm sure A.J. Brown's going to have a good year, and that's the thing. They're deep. So Devonta Smith being the two is kind of ridiculous. Now, they're going to have an awesome season. I don't know. What do you peg them at for wins on the season?
Philly?
Yeah. I mean, how much better is the rest of the division? I don't think I think the Cowboys are the last place team. I think the Giants will be more competitive. It doesn't mean they're going to beat the Eagles. And the Commanders have to close some gaps. Obviously, they got to defend the run a lot better this year.
Yes.
Can the Commies beat them? Can they split with them? I mean, I asked you one question about overall wins, but division record, you got 6 games. What do they do?
Ooh.
4-2 men?
Yeah.
Maybe 5-1?
I think so. I think they've just, really figured a lot out there. And I think the NFL is kind of going back to running backs and build that offensive line. And we know the defenses are kind of smaller and more athletic. So when you have that offensive line, right, and you have Saquon Barkley, it's kind of hard to compete. I think I had him because I did a grid of the NFL. I think I have him 14 wins still.
Ooh, 14 wins. All right. Giveaway time. 364-1100, 364-1100. Netflix comedian. He had a special on Netflix. I don't think he works for Netflix. Sam Morril is playing coming up on Friday night, 2 weeks from now, Palazzo Theater at the Venetian. Ticketmaster.com is where you get the tickets. 364-1100 for a comedy show. Sam Morril. 364-1100, caller number 7. On the way back, we will talk to Adam Hill about, it's not official yet, Taylor Swift playing the halftime of the Super Bowl and some of the biggest Raiders Week 1 depth chart surprises.
Now, back to Cofield and Company to go behind the patch with Adam Hill on ESPN Las Vegas.
Alex White's here. It's Cofield. Let's bring in Adam Hill on this Wednesday. What's going on, Adam?
Not much. How you guys doing?
We're good. We want some info on a bunch of the stuff that's been going on, that has been going on around the Raiders. And first of all, Jacoby Myers spoke, and was that the first time he spoke since the trade demand came out? And I kind of wanted to get his tone because he was pretty. Sounded not curt, because I don't know what the tone was, but he was very direct on his answer about wanting to be around the Raiders.
Yeah, I think he definitely was. I think it was kind of surprising, because often in these cases we'll hear a player says, you know, I want to trade, or, you know, an agent leaks that out, and the team kind of says, you know, we're working through whatever. And then when the player talks, he's like, yeah, that's business. I'm worried about playing, and that's how it goes. But, you know, Jacoby very clearly, I'll say this, very clearly wanted to talk to the media today. New media procedures based on Pete Carroll's practice schedule. So I think it's much easier for players now to not do media if they don't want to. Media is much before practice. It's about like an hour before practice instead of after practice, where you might come in and sit at your locker, be tired, and just kind of relax. Now it's before, so you can definitely be somewhere else. And Jacoby was not. Jacoby was at his locker the entire time. Maybe the only player in the entire locker room that was there the entire time. So he was willing to do it. He wanted to talk about it, and he knew what he wanted to say. And I think there's you know, a method behind that. I mean, Jacoby has been the quiet guy his entire career. He's the hard worker. He's the leader. He does literally everything right all the time. And I think he, in his mind, is like, what has that gotten me? Like, I'm not the squeaky wheel. I don't get what, you know, I don't get the respect. I don't get the money. I don't get the contract. Time to be different. And I think what Jacoby's going to do is do everything he always does in terms of on the field and in the locker room, and, you know, block downfield for his teammates and be a leader and do all the dirty work and all those little things in addition to being the team's leading receiver. But I think he's like, all right, enough of the just, you know, I'll let my play handle the business side. I'll let my agents do that. Like, no, he's very clear. And I thought maybe one of my favorite quotes I've heard in a long time was just Jacoby describing the situation as, I asked for a trade. They said no. Like, that's it. Like, okay.
That's it. Yep.
So, Adam, as for Sunday, what are we expecting? You think he's got his head on right? You don't think he's going to be targeted less for any of this, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think maybe by design of the offense, I mean, Ashton Jeffrey's going to get a huge share of the touches, both passing game and running game. And obviously Brock Bowers is there, and Michael Mayer is back and healthy, and he's looked great. And even Ian Thomas, the third string tight end. And now they've brought in guys like Amari Cooper and, you know, Dante Thornton, who's going to be starting. And Trey Tucker has had a phenomenal offseason. So I think they've just got a lot more weapons. And that's part of the other reason I think, you know, Jacoby Myers coming off the year that he had, the only year he's been a true number one receiver for a team, is seeing the writing on the wall that maybe that doesn't happen again this year, and maybe it was time to get a deal right now. So I think just by design, he might see the ball a little bit less, but I don't think it has anything to do with the business side. I do think, you know, adding to that, the really another one of my favorite answers from Jacoby, because I said, look, often in these situations, a player will say, hey, the season has started, this is over, I'm just worried about playing. And he said, not me. He's like, this is about feeding my family for the next generations. He's like, I'm not going to forget about that. He said, I'm still going to bring it up. And he said, and if everybody else wants to forget about it, I'm going to remind them. So this is something that's going to linger in terms of the business side of things. I just don't think it's going to affect his play. And I do think that's why he's going to do everything he does and do all the little things. He doesn't want people to forget, like, hey, even though I'm doing everything right on the field, don't forget that I'm not happy.
Let's flip it now. I want to look at the Patriots offense and the Raiders defense coming up this week. And, of course, Patrick Graham has been the DC through a few coaches, including Josh McDaniels. And now Josh McDaniels is running the Patriots offense. What do you expect with this matchup? And do either of them have an edge here?
Yeah, I mean, I think Josh McDaniels is a good offensive coordinator, not a good head coach. We know that. He's back. Jacoby Myers did slip a little bit and say he doesn't think Josh McDaniels ever should have left that job, to which everybody was like, whoa, and he's, I'm sorry. I think he's just more saying he's comfortable there. he's comfortable there. That's where he's had his most success, all those things. So, but yeah, I think he's back in a familiar place with people he's worked around before. I think their offense is going to look good. I think Drake May is going to take a next step. I think there's a lot to like about this Patriots team, but I think there's a lot of uncertainty, just like there is with the Raiders side. I mean, it's Patrick Graham's defense, but it's Patrick Graham running Pete Carroll's defense, basically. So that's kind of an adjustment to be made. I think we don't know a lot about both sides. We're going to have to find out on Sunday. I think there's going to be, we often talk about how overrated the quote-unquote halftime adjustments are, but I think it's going to be pretty big here in terms of, hey, is this what we thought was going to be? Is this what we thought we were seeing on tape, or is this something completely different? And I think those will be lessons that are learned pretty early in the game.
Adam Hill is with us as we go behind the patch, get the Raiders update before this game coming up against the Patriots in week one on the road. So what Chip Kelly ran in the run game was pretty vanilla during the preseason, and Pete Carroll kind of leaned on that, especially after the first game, and said, we really didn't show him a whole lot, and that's why it wasn't that productive. Do you expect him to be kind of close to the vest and vanilla in week one, or do we see an opening up here of the run offense from Chip?
The way it was told to us, we see the opening up, right? They're just waiting for the regular season. I think I told you this maybe on the air that it was my dad's favorite thing growing up. Every time Michigan didn't, do something great or play well, he'd say, we're saving all of our good plays for Ohio State. That was like his favorite line growing up. And so I think that was kind of what Pete Carroll said after week one. He's like, everybody's saying the running game sucked, but, we're saving it for the regular season. We're not showing what we've got. But now it's time to open it up, right? It's time to explore the space a little bit in terms of what Chip Kelly wants to do in this run game. And I do believe Chip Kelly is a very, very good offensive coordinator. I think he's got good weapons. I think he's got an offensive line that is better suited to his offense than they were suited to the offense last year. So I'm excited to see what they do. I'm excited to see how much they open it up, how much they kind of utilize some of the weapons that they have, because they do have a ton of guys. It's just a question of how it all comes together. And, Chip Kelly, I think, knows how to use them. So I think it's going to be all systems go, all hands on deck. They're going to open up the playbook on Sunday.
All right, some surprises on the week one depth chart. Maybe you can tell us it's not a surprise. We'll start with Dante Thornton in at one of the starting receiver spot, and Jack Besh is not.
Yeah, I mean, I've been talking to, I was talking to Dante today, just a little bit after he did some media, just about, it's not a surprise that he's number one on the depth chart, because he basically was number one from like the first day of OTAs. Like, they had him out there with the ones, and he was all the way through. And I think there was some thought of, they're just kind of getting him some use, some experience, some reps, whatever. But, like, he's been with the ones since the very beginning. And he said that's, one of the things that's made him so comfortable is he said, a lot of teams thought he couldn't do this or couldn't do that. And when the Raiders drafted him, they said, we think you can do everything, and we're going to throw you in the deep end and see if you swim. And he's been able to do that without question. He's a really, really smart kid. Obviously, all the athleticism in the world. And they really, really wanted to hit a deep ball in the preseason. They finally did with that spectacular play in the third preseason game. And he's ready to go. I know our friend Sarin Petro talked about this about a month and a half ago, that we do a dynasty league together, and I drafted Dante Thornton ahead of Jack Besh. Fun of it, and he goes, "Oh wait, you're watching them practice every day." I was like, "Yeah, oops. I am." I know. And I think Dante Thornton has just so much upside. Dekpesh, I think, has a lot of ability. I think he'll be good down the road. But I think the acquisition of Amari Cooper had a lot to do with Dekpesh just not being ready for week one to, you know, hit the ground running. And then the same way maybe Dante Thornton is. And obviously Thornton's skill set is very different and very impressive. So I think it's a little bit of time with Dekpesh. But, yeah, I mean, I think that they've got you know, different players who do a lot of different things in that wide receiver room. And that's what Chip Kelly wanted.
Defensive back, KBK over Darian Porter.
Yes. It was – the only question was whether he's healthy. Caillou told me today he's 100% ready to go, no questions. Pete Carroll said he wanted to see him practice a little bit first, but Caillou was very excited. Obviously, local kid, Big Group Mormon product, talked about – I stopped and paused for a second because he said – you know, I dreamed about playing for the Raiders when I was growing up when they moved here, and I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, I guess you are pretty young. That's pretty wild. But I think what he's saying is, you know, he saw the Raiders, and then when they moved here, he's like, oh, that's who I want to play for. But this is a huge opportunity. He's here last year kind of working his way up, getting some reps, and now with the new coaching staff, they were impressed with him right away. Had during a stretch of training camp, there was a day where Pete Carroll said, you know, Caillou's had like 10 really good practices in a row. And I think that kind of pushed him over the top. Got hurt late in camp, dealing with a hamstring. But as long as he's healthy, he's the guy to make the start on Sunday. And we'll see a lot of Darian Porter in the special teams game for sure. I think we'll see him on the field on defense too. But I have said over and over again, Darian Porter is going to be one of the best special teams players in the league. The best rep I saw any player take, offense, defense, or special teams, was a gunner rep that Darian Porter had against the 49ers. Second preseason game. One of the most impressive things I've ever watched on the field. Anybody that is kind of fiending for football, go back and watch that. I think it was in the second quarter. It's absolutely unbelievable, and that's what he does. That's what he did in college. That's what he did before he even played corner. That guy is a beast on special teams, and that'll be something to watch, something that's fun on Sunday.
JPJ is a one at one of the guard positions. Does that mean that he's out there the whole time, or is there a workload split with Al Kappa?
I think it's Jackson Powers Johnson's job to have as long as he plays well. Still find it kind of interesting that he's not the center as the year starts. But Chip Kelly really likes Jordan Meredith. I'll say that. And Jackson Powers Johnson. But look, the best 5-man unit on the team involves Jackson Powers Johnson being on the field. I don't think there's much question about that. So they're able to get him on there, even if you know even if this staff doesn't love him at center right now. He is out there on the field. He will be, I think, throughout the game. Alex Kappa might have had a competition with Jackson Powers Johnson, but he was just hurt way too much in camp, didn't get enough reps, and I think still kind of working his way back a little bit. So he might play some, but I think it'll be Jackson Powers Johnson pretty much throughout the game.
Some tweets on Monday about the Raiders signing veteran quarterback Jeff Driscoll, and just curious your thoughts on this and how you feel. Some other tweets that it wouldn't affect rookie quarterback Cam Miller, but could this possibly mean that Pickens' hamstring injury is worse than initially reported?
Yeah, potentially. And he's still like he missed so much of camp too. He just wasn't getting the workload before he got here that he maybe needed. So I do think it's just a comfort level going into this game. But I think Pickett will be the two, and then we'll see potentially Jeff Driscoll. I mean, look. Cam Miller is a while away. There's no question about it. And, you know, when Pete Carroll was asked about Cam Miller, what does he need to become the backup quarterback? Pete Carroll said a couple of years. I think that was very telling. He just needs experience. He needs to play at a high level. And he needs to do that through practice at this point. So I don't think they want him anywhere near the field to have another just emergency quarterback in there in that situation. There was a goofy question alert today. What is your philosophy on emergency quarterbacks to Pete Carroll? I still don't even know what that means. Pete Carroll said that you can call it an emergency, but if they're in there, it's reality. That was kind of a funny answer to that. But that's not a question that they want to find out about this week. I can just tell you that.
Alex White, Steve Cofield here on this Tuesday. Check that Wednesday. Adam Hill is in as we go behind the patch. All right, we got to get one fight note in. I saw that you tweeted about T-Mobile agreement with the TKO folks. So what does this entail?
So UFC has been an anchor tenant at T-Mobile Arena since 2017. They signed that deal early on. And when you go in there, there's the big banners for the Golden Knights, and there's a big banner for the UFC. That's the Tanaka Tenno was the first non-professional sports organization, or non-major league sports organization, I guess you would say, to be an anchor tenant at a venue. Kind of a feat that they were very proud of. That deal has continued, and now it's been expanded. No longer UFC being an anchor tenant, it's TKO being an anchor tenant. So it's UFC and WWE with agreed upon dates throughout the year, at least 4 UFC major events, 2 WWE events every single year, which will obviously be easy this year with SmackDown and Raw around WrestleMania. But you'll see TKO branding instead of just UFC branding. They also get space in the retail store. They also get activations throughout the concourse all year long. So they're tied hand in hand through the end of the decade with the UFC and WWE TKO. So expect a lot of those events to be here. You know, not a surprise at all, for sure, but definitely an extension of that agreement that has been very profitable for both organizations.
Adam Hill, RJ columnist, is with us. You irked people in the past in your writings about Bakersfield and Matt Rhule in Lincoln, Nebraska. When will you do a column on Taylor Swift being the halftime entertainment at the Super Bowl, and will that set a record for the most hate you've gotten?
Well, Steve, I broke this on your show, didn't I?
You did.
I mean, this is happening.
You said the clues were all given out during that podcast with the Kelce Bros.
She's all about Easter eggs. Obviously, all of us three, all, and I'll throw Griffin into all 4 of us are Swifties, very much pay attention to all this and follow the clues, follow the Easter eggs, know the behind the scenes. She's doing it. There's no question. So I'm excited about it. I'm sure you are, too. It'll be a great halftime show.
I like most of the halftime shows, so I don't have a problem with basically anyone. Maybe not Metallica. Enough of that. Cry for that. But you know this is going to be a freaking – it's great for the NFL. They're smart if they do it, because it's going to be a lightning rod issue, and there's going to be people coming out of the woodwork from everywhere to sort of weaponize Taylor Swift playing at a Super Bowl as some sort of a negative. It's going to be highly entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, it's just what somebody was saying the other day, that sorry that her 20 seconds on camera during the game takes away from your enjoyment of goofy, drunk fans with no shirt on. Like, who cares? Like, I think she's brought a great dynamic to the game, a great element. Stop with the nonsense. Now, I can understand maybe some rival teams of the Chiefs being upset because, the conspiracies will be in that they're going to try to make the Chiefs be there, too, to make it even bigger. But I think it'd be great if she does it. I hope she does. Be fun. It's not going to talk about Kendrick Lamar, but it'll be a great show.
I think it will top Kendrick Lamar. I'm not saying Taylor Swift is stupid, but her music isn't as smart. Like, you don't have to be a deep thinker, I don't think, for Taylor's music, for Swift's music, as you did with Kendrick Lamar, which he threw like 80% of the audience for a loop. They had no idea what he was saying, but it was clear what he was saying.
True. Oh, yeah, I thought so. I mean, of course. I mean, I'm a huge Kendrick fan, so I knew anyway what he was saying. But, yeah, all the symbolism. Oh, by the way, she'll have a ton of symbolism, too, but hers isn't as deep and meaningful and powerful. Right. Hers is about just, you know,
that right there,
plans and stuff.
That right there is a column. You can basically, in a way, you'd insult Swifties, but you would also insult the average NFL fan. If this is your dream, everyone will be mad.
Oh, that's true. Thanks for the idea, actually. That's awesome.
Yes, there you go. Another good one. All right, Adam. Hey, we appreciate the time today, and we will talk to you later in the week.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys.
There he is, Adam Hill. Tried and true Swifty.
Well, he said Easter egg, so I knew he was a Swifty.
Disappointing. He did not take up the invite for Mark McMillan, Chef Mark's wing-eating contest. The wing-eating contest is going down this Saturday. Before that UCLA game, it's going to be over in Hendo and Henderson. Chef Mark's wing-eating contest is going to be at Ace Hardware. There's 4 Ace Hardware stores in town. This one is the location at Green Valley Parkway and Warm Springs. Naked City Wings will be consumed with Chef Mark's sweet heat sauce all over it. Grand prize in the wing-eating contest. You got to be there at 11:45 to get in. That'll be the cutoff. Noon is when the chowin starts. $500 gift card up for grabs at an Ace Hardware store, plus the grand prize. There's an overall drawing for 2 tickets to the Monday night Raiders game. Awesome deal. Wing eating contest. You get to try Chef Mark's sauce. It's Ace Hardware, Green Valley, and Warren Springs this Saturday. Saturday, Saturday, Saturday. noon at Ace Hardware with Chef Mark.
Now, back to Cofield and Company, live from the Battle Born Broadcast Center on ESPN, Las Vegas.
We got Justin Watkins, Legal Insider, sports better, coming in just a little bit, head-to-head against Alex White. Alex is a very hard grader, but she actually wins. I think Justin does as well, but she wins contest. We'll get into the Circa Invitational in just a little bit. I thought the worst loss of week one in college football was North Carolina. I expected them to lose. Didn't work out for Chapel Bill. That was embarrassing. A lot of mistakes on the field. They look like they kind of wilted, all worn down in the second half. Biggest take out of this one, nice upgrade for TCU or downgrade North Carolina?
I think a little bit of both, to be honest. I think TCU has been better than they have been playing the last couple years. And I expected Sunny Dyke's team to be better than last year. And I didn't have very high expectations for North Carolina. So I don't know if I would say I thought that was the worst, even though it was standalone by itself on Monday and quite embarrassing. But I think the writing was on the wall all off season, right? Because, I mean, they talked about the struggles of getting guys in there and not really getting the talent there this first year and trying to use Bill Belichick's name. But, yeah, we knew it was kind of tough with the transfer portal and everything.
Griffin, your take on Belichick's run defense, and I'm talking about both Bill and Stevie.
Yeah, the run defense, TCU was just gashing them the entire game. It really opened up the offense to kind of have the quarterback back there be able to just sit back and pick them apart. There was just no gap security like we were talking yesterday with Caleb Herring. The D-line, the linebackers, the whole front seven looked like they were struggling throughout the game. And, it's a bad look for a Bill Belichick team, especially with a guy who, you know, has such a strong defensive background. To see him and Stevie Belichick go out there and their defense look like that, it's definitely a letdown.
And TCU on social media did not hold back.
Ooh, they are my new favorite account. TCU football, they went crazy. They went after everybody who was hyping up the Bill Belichick debut for UNC, including the UNC and their efforts to make their own little Hard Knocks style show. The TCU account went back and went to the post where they were previewing, like, hey, UNC is going to have their own Hard Knocks style docuseries. And the TCU commented on it, and they were saying something like, hey, when does week one come out? When does the first episode come out? And it just, there's so many great tweets from that account.
I don't know the particulars of this, if they're doing like week by week. I doubt it. I think it's going to be one of those that's chronicled after the season. Alex, if they go 3-9, do they pull the plug on the stock?
Oh, I don't know.
If Jordan Hudson is in charge, and I don't think he's been around a lot of football, these things happen. You go 3-9, you go 4-8, seasons are disappointing. It can also be very entertaining to chronicle a losing season, but I don't know if she's going to be able to take that. Maybe she's really football savvy and she has a real ear and eye for TV and how big this will be. I think more people will watch if they stink.
Yeah,
I think you're going to try to put Bill in the best light possible. She'll throw Steve Belichick on. By the way, wait until this starts to happen. Wait until the kids start getting blamed. The Lombardi kid, both of the Belichicks, right? Classic young girlfriend move. Ah, your kids, they stink.
Yeah.
Deep down, she's like, they don't like me, so let me stick it to them here.
That's right.
This could be a real war between Jordan and little Belichick's and little Lombardi. All right, on the way back, let's get Alex's thoughts from week one of college football, especially that Clemson-LSU game. I want to remind you, this part of the show is brought to you by William Hill. $25 entry fee gets you in for the Pro Pick'em contest, but the deadline is on Sunday. Is that right? The 7th? Yeah, Sunday morning. At 9 a.m., don't wait until Sunday. Do it today, tomorrow. Don't wait until the weekend. William Hill, Pro Pick'em Contest, $25 to get in. You buy four entries, you get a fifth for free. You get action for all 18 weeks of the regular season. The cool thing is it's not daunting in terms of trying to figure out the point spreads. No point spreads, just pick the winning teams. Get in today. The clock is ticking on the Pro Pick'em. The progressive cards are out for William Hill. $5 bet can get you up to $50,000. And if no one wins a Progressive, then guess what? It's Progressive, so it carries over to the next week. And right now, with the William Hill Mobile Sports app, your first bet is matched up to a $250 bonus bet. And news in earlier today. And you know what? I'm not going to report this. I want multiple sources on this one. Go get the app, williamhill.us, for the information.
Now, back to Cofield and Company, live from the Battle Born Broadcast Center on ESPN Las Vegas.
So we got a lot coming up on week two of the college football season, but we'll wrap up week one with a couple of final notes because we haven't had Alex White in for a show. Alexandra White is here, who is a multiple last man, woman standing champion, was second in the Circa Invitational, where you can pick both college and the NFL. She knows what she's talking about. And while number two, Clemson, at least according to Griffin, fell against LSU, did you come out of the game feeling okay about both teams?
Yeah, I feel like LSU is pretty legit. I mean, going into that game, we knew that both of them had two of the top quarterbacks with Garrett Neusmeyer and Cade Klubnik. And I was with Griffin, I thought Clemson was going to take that one at home, and you know, Dabo Swinney used the portal, brought some guys in on his defensive side, and Cade Klubnik has a lot of experience, a lot of years there. But LSU, I mean, it was really all about their defense, a huge improvement, and that has been their struggle over the years. So yeah, I think LSU really is the big story in that one.
I don't get the narrative in the offseason that Brian Kelly's constantly on the hot seat. Like, their season was fine last year. They're not. Alabama may do the craziest thing ever and blow out Kalen DeBoer and give him $63 million in a payout. Brian Kelly's going to be owed a lot of money if they get rid of him. He's fine.
Yeah.
And we mentioned it yesterday. John Gruden is not the solution. We're watching Belichick pull an El Flopo as a pro coach going to college. Gruden's not your guy. Brian Kelly's a good coach. Lay off him. Now, of course, that changes if they're upset by anyone in the SEC and then the pitchforks and torches come out.
Well, but I mean, to your point, that week one really shows a lot. And that is where Kalen DeBoer, I mean, how are your guys not prepared to go on the road and take on a team that went 2-10 last year, right? Yep. And I think that
how are they not fired up on defense? The quarterback was talking trash, saying, "Hey, Nick Saban's not around to save you." And the defense, well, it was a lot of last year, wasn't it? When they go against a mobile quarterback, it's basically Diego Pavia recreated in the form of Tommy Castellanos.
Yep, you are correct. And the three losses last year were all on the road. They were double-digit favorites in those two, so that's where I'm like kind of shocked with the lack of preparation and the mental preparation for his team going into these big games. But Brian Kelly, that was impressive. I mean, Clemson was, I don't know what they were, AP poll top rated, but definitely a tough place to play. And they were actually the ones that were talking smack before going in there, and they wore the shirts that said 1-0. Because he has slipped up and they have lost their first game. They lost to USC last year. So they manifested. They were mentally prepared. And they were definitely the better team that day.
Giveaway time. We got the big UNLV game this weekend. UCLA is in town from the Big Ten. Still sounds weird. But Big Ten Power 4 school in town. UNLVtickets.com for the 5 o'clock kickoff on Saturday the 6th. It's at Allegiant Stadium. Two tickets right now. 364-1100. Caller 7-364-1100. UNLV. Against UCLA, UNLVtickets.com. But Griffin's got a pair right now. UCLA had a tough time against Utah. That one kind of snowballed as it went along. And the physicality of Utah, they're always physical, beat the hell out of the Bruins. And the difference for Utah, last year was not a great season because of the lack of predictability at the quarterback position. Well, nothing against the kid, but they moved on.
Yeah.
And Devin Dampier, you know, we are going to have to get on. I think Justin, who's coming up here, did have a good week. But I remember last week he made a comment about what quarterback to trust. And he said, Devin Dampier coming from New Mexico on the Mountain West Conference, don't trust him. He was great.
Yeah, he was. And the OC, Beck, who had a perfect game plan in that one. And I thought six was too much. I thought that UCLA could hang around and, you know, Deshaun Foster would step up. And there were good things we saw last year. I mean, they covered in, like, their last six games. And then they bring a quarterback over who was in the SEC. So I totally understood why Justin was saying that and was kind of on the same page. But now that makes me a little bit worried for UCLA moving forward. I mean, 11 of 22 was Nico I in that game, and there's just clips of him, you know, overthrowing receivers, and so the accuracy was not there.
Yeah, I wanted to look at the rush numbers because I don't UCLA only had 84 yards rushing.
84, yeah.
Utah 286. Wow.
So, did you see Joey Aguilar, too, for Tennessee? Because that was the big story, right? Monster game. And it was against Syracuse. So, we know that they've had their struggles on defense as well. But, I mean, he had some really pretty passes.
Good impression coming out of Ohio State and Texas, at least on the defensive side of the ball. We got about a minute here.
No, great on the defensive sides. I think both of them were really good. I was impressed to see what Matt Patricia did, slowing down that Texas offense.
I got to eat crow. I'm going to play some audio tomorrow. Pro coach that I really respect was complimenting Matt Patricia. It's one game. Let's chill. But he didn't get freaking boat raced.
No.
In this one.
No, he didn't. He was prepared. Question marks from both quarterbacks, but we'll give them some time as the season goes along and see what they've got with their young quarterbacks. I feel like we had more first-year quarterbacks than we have in a while with these big-name schools.
That was the theme I talked about all offseason because of name brand. It's just like, oh, Alabama's going to be good. Ohio State's going to be good. Oregon's going to be good. There's like 11 programs that are kind of given credit, at least in this case, that have young quarterbacks or transfers who really didn't play a whole lot. Doesn't mean every single one of them is going to work out. And we just mentioned quarterback issues a year ago with Utah.
Yeah.
That changes the whole freaking season. Florida State should not have been a 2-10 team, but DJU did not work out. And if your quarterback doesn't work out and you don't have a good backup behind him, and I don't want to keep like giving myself a pat on the back, but I've told everyone for years, you can't keep quarterback depth anymore with NIL. Kids want to freaking play. So sometimes when you bump the next guy up, if he stays around, he might not even be the guy that you wanted to freaking bump up. But more importantly, you're seeing a lot of programs are having to go with young quarterbacks and not a whole lot of great depth behind them. Hour two is on the way. We're going to bring in Justin Watkins. We'll get into a bunch of the games in week two. But we got to get to this crazy deal with breaking news on pay for what? No-show job in the NBA? Kawhi?